Our lives can a lot of times be like journeying down a road. Sometimes things are going along and everything's just going along smooth and easy. And other times you've got those moments and there's just curves everywhere, or you've got these bumps in the road and everything, and it's like those speed bumps that you see in Fayetteville where they're just super huge, you know what I'm talking about. And then there are the occasional road construction issues that we have and everything, which when I lived in the North Country there, that pretty much is 6 months of the year. And you just get used to the constant delays. And then there are those roads that are similar to a roller coaster, that you go to these lowest of lows and then to these highest of highs. Well, the road that we find these two disciples on here today in our text is like that last one. It's like a roller coaster. And they go from the lowest of lows in the depth of despair to the highest of highs in the height of delight. And so we first meet them on this road that goes about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they are in the depth of despair. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. The depth of despair. It's the absence of light. It's the presence of darkness. It's the absence of confidence, and it's the presence of doubt. It's the absence of hope, and it's the presence of fear. Ultimately, here with these two disciples, it's the absence of the risen Christ. The depth of despair is an awful place to be. And it's exactly where these disciples found themselves, in this depth of despair. Even as this unexpected visitor joined them, they could not be swayed from their sadness. Hopes had been shattered. Dreams had been dashed. And such is all too often the case when death darkens the day. We listen in. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." They had hoped. They had hoped that this Jesus would be their king. They had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. They had hoped that he would be the one to restore their kingdom and end the reign of their enemies. They had hoped, but their hopes were now dashed into a million pieces. Their king had been tried, and now he had been crucified and now buried in a tomb. Their hopes had been replaced with despair. Death has a way of doing that, driving us to despair. It's as if there's this dark cloud hovers over us that no matter how hard we try to escape it, there it is. Whether it's the death of a loved one or the death of a friend, or maybe it's as we contemplate the reality of our own mortality. So often the grief and the sorrow wage on as we walk through this world. Our heads and our hearts sink low as we consider the valley of the shadow of death, where it looks as though we're never going to find any hope and we're never going to be able to find these better and brighter days. It's as one devotion that I read put it, At times it will appear that God himself and any hope you ever once held on to have walked out of your life. In the minds of these disciples, the very one that had placed their hope in, that they had placed their hope in, had walked out of their life. He wasn't with them anymore. He had died. It was over. Though the despair might eventually fade, they were going to be left with this reality of death, and it was going to linger on forever. Or at least that's what they thought. The visitor on the road had some news. He had some news to wake them up to reality. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer all these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. For these two disciples, they had forgotten. They had forgotten the words and promises of God. They had forgotten that Jesus had to suffer, that Jesus had to die, and that he would rise. And so in their depth of despair and in their weakness of faith, Jesus came alongside of these disciples, and he patiently walked them through all of the scriptures and pointed them to the fact that his death was not by accident. It was totally and completely necessary. It had to happen. It had to happen for those Emmaus disciples so that the darkness of death would not win the day eternally for them or for us. Well, in the depths and darkness of despair, it can be ever so difficult to discern what is truth anymore. Whenever the dark realities of life happen, death or otherwise, the temptation is always going to be to abandon the truth of God's word. And the temptation is always going to be to try and lean on our own understanding to try and get through it all. So just like these disciples, we also need someone to come alongside of us and return us to where true hope can be found. His name is Jesus. By means of his word, Jesus joins us on the road of our lives. No matter the curves or the bumps or the ups and the downs, he never fails to search us out. He never fails to find us so that he can draw us back to himself. He calls us by the gospel. He enlightens us with his gifts. He teaches us his will and his ways. And when the going gets tough, he never shies away. For you are his beloved children, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from his love, not even death. He willingly entered into the valley of the shadow of death for you, taking your cross, forgiving your sin. And the good news of great joy is that he did not stay dead. In fact, those disciples on the road to Emmaus are eyewitnesses to that very fact. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him to stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Just imagine for a second what this was like. They had journeyed with this man in the depth of their despair, and they had poured out their hearts of all of their dashed hopes here with the very man that they thought was dead. I mean, just imagine the shock. Just imagine the facial expressions that they have toward each other as the shock and the awe comes over their face. Just imagine the delight, the absolute delight, as they beheld Jesus alive. I mean, how could this be? Because dead people, they don't live again. Dead people don't walk and talk and come alongside of you and join you in conversation after they die. Dead people stay dead, and they leave those who are left to despair after they die. But not this time. Not with the Son of God. Not with Jesus, who looks at death and says, I am the resurrection and the life. It is just as the angel said. He is not here. He is risen. And so those Emmaus disciples, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I mean, just imagine what that return journey was like. I mean, you can kind of picture them. They're running. Maybe they're skipping. Maybe they're dancing. I bet they're even laughing. Could you believe it? There's laughing allowed in church. I know, it's crazy, but it's allowed. All right? Laughing, and then there's singing. There's rejoicing as they return back to Jerusalem. The clouds of despair have now parted, and there's a bird flying over my head. That's a new one. But the clouds have now parted to make way for the risen Son, the S-O-N. God's not dead. He's surely alive. Jesus is alive. Now, a road that had been traveled in the depth of despair was now a road returned upon in the height of delight. The height of delight. It's the absence of darkness. It's the presence of light. It's when everything that was wrong has now been made right. It's when we who are blinded by sin and death are now given sight. And so with eyes of faith, see here today that the height of delight is also for you. The tomb is empty. The devil is done. Death is defeated. The resurrected Jesus has won. He comes in his word in the breaking of bread. He comes in his body given and his blood that was shed. There is a day coming when he will take you from the depth of despair. And like the tomb on Easter, your body will also not be there. Your body will be raised from death and Jesus will be within your sight. You will be with him forever, where you will live in the height of delight. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.